Make your weekend better at Buena Connection Brewing Company. Fresh craft beer, great vibes, and a tap room perfect for kicking back. Grab a pint, bring friends, and enjoy the weekend at Buena Connection Brewing Company. Go to BuenaConnectionBrewing.com. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Beverage Chronicles. I'm Gary Monteroso, your host. Each week, we bring you the latest beverage news plus smart consumer tips to help you buy better. Whether you're choosing beer, wine, spirits, or zero-proof options. So let's dive in to what's new, what's noteworthy, and what's worth bringing home. This is Beverage Chronicles. And today I want to talk to you about the rise and fall of Schlitz beer. You know, for over a century, Schlitz wasn't just a beer, it was a cultural force. It was the beer that built Milwaukee's identity. The beer that once outsold every other lager on earth, and the beer behind one of the most iconic taglines in American history, and that was the beer that made Milwaukee famous. The story starts in 1849, when Milwaukee was becoming a powerhouse of German brewing tradition. Joseph Schlitz, a young immigrant who began as a bookkeeper, eventually took over a small brewery and transformed it into a national contender. Then came the turning point, the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. While Chicago's breweries lay in ruins, Schlitz shipped trainloads of beer into the city, winning over a massive new market almost overnight. That bold move helped launch Schlitz into a national spotlight. By 1902, Schlitz had climbed to the top of the mountain. It was the largest brewery in the world. Its brown glass bottle innovation in 1912 helped protect the beer from light spoiling, and its TV ads in the post-war era cemented Schlitz as a household name. For decades, it looked unstoppable. But then came the 1970s and the beginning of one of the most infamous collapses in beer history. Facing pressure to cut costs and speed up production, Schlitz executives changed the brewing process. They accelerated fermentation, they altered ingredients, and tried to squeeze more beer out of every batch. On paper, it looked efficient. In reality, it changed the beer itself. Drinkers noticed haziness, flat flavor, and inconsistency. A stabilization enzyme meant to fix the problem backfired, creating the dreaded Schlitz floaters. Consumer trust shattered almost instantly. By the early 1980s, the giant had fallen. The Milwaukee brewery had shut down, and the brand changed hands. Schlitz became a nostalgic memory, an old sign in a tavern, a story told by longtime drinkers. There was a brief comeback. In 2008, Pabst revived the classic 1960s formula, and fans celebrated the return of real gusto. But the modern beer landscape was too crowded, and Schlitz never regained its national footprint. And now, after 175 years of continuous production, the final chapter has arrived. This year, 2026, Pabst officially announced that Schlitz is being sunset, ending one of the most dramatic rise and fall arcs in American brewing. Wisconsin Brewing Company is brewing one last limited batch using original logs from 1912 to the 1940s, giving the icon a proper send-off before it disappears for good. Schlitz rose on bold moves, fell on broken trust, and leaves behind a lesson every brewer knows by heart. Once you compromise the beer will compromise you. Now let's go on with more Beverage Chronicles.
Hi friends, it's Katie, and today we're talking about a beer that quietly reshaped what a session beer could be, and that accounts for about 50% of the brewery's total production. All Day IPA from Founders Brewing Company. At a time when craft beer was racing toward bigger, stronger, and hoppier, this one kind of went in the opposite direction. All Day IPA was released year-round in February 2012, but it actually won a medal at the Great American Beer Festival back in 2010 under a working name, proving its quality before it even hit the wide market. 2012, though, was in the middle of a more extreme beer era. Double IPAs, imperial stouts, barrel-aged everything. The higher the ABV, the more hype there was. But founders saw a gap. They wanted something that you could drink, well, all day. So, not in a reckless way, but in a practical lifestyle sense. A beer that you could have while maybe fishing, grilling, watching a game, just hanging out with friends without getting knocked out after one or two. It took founders nearly 3 years to develop, and it almost didn't make it to the market at all. Originally, in the tap room, this beer was called Endurance Ale. The recipe was difficult to dial in, and early on, they even struggled with some limitations like hop supply. When it did finally launch, distribution was actually very limited, to just a handful of regions in Michigan, Ohio, Chicago, and other parts of the East Coast. We've spent some time before talking about balanced beers, but that is really what makes all-day IPA work. Their grain bill is fairly simple. Pale malt forms the backbone, clean, slightly bready, and neutral enough to let the hops shine through. A touch of specialty malts, like Crystal, just adds enough body and a hint of sweetness. And then some sources suggest adjunct grains like maybe wheat or oats that were used to enhance the mouthfeel to keep it from feeling thin, but that's not confirmed. That could make sense though, because here's the challenge. When you lower alcohol, you sometimes lose the body and the flavor. So instead of bulking up with alcohol, they actually engineered the texture and drinkability through the grain bill and the entire process. Before we get to the hops that they use, let's open one together and discuss the initial aromas and flavor notes. So there's actually not a lot of aroma, and there is a bit of a head retention on this one, so the foam is foaming, but I'm not picking up a lot of scents besides maybe a slight malt. And in the flavor, though, that malt is the main theme, but there is a little bit of bitterness coming through from the hops. Meanwhile, the entire experience is light, refreshing, and crisp. It really reminds me a lot of a basic lager. And speaking of the hops, this is where the beer kind of defines itself. All-day IPA uses a mix of classic American hops, specifically Amarillo and Simcoe. Those hops tend to bring forward more citrus and piney and more light notes and a clean bitterness that doesn't overwhelm the palate, which makes sense with what I just described as being a malt-based flavor with just a slight bitterness coming through. And that is a key component of this IPA. So instead of blasting your palate like a double IPA, this beer kind of layers the hop flavor in a way that stays crisp and refreshing. So you get the aroma and character of an IPA without the saturated palate or having to limit yourself to just one or two. The other thing to mention about this beer is the different ways in which it is accessible. We've touched on the lower ABV, which is 4.7%, and that fits into everyday life. You can have one or a few without feeling wiped out. Another way that Founders makes this super accessible is their widely available packaging. So it comes in everything from 6-packs to 15-packs to tall boys, which the 19.2-ounce can is what I have today, making it easy to find in almost any setting like a gas station for less than $3 like I did. And speaking of, the other accessibility factor is their price strategy. So Founders famously leaned into value. In 2014, Founders was the first major craft brewery to offer a 15-pack for the same price as a competitor's 12-pack, which made it even more approachable for regular drinkers. And last, when we talk about accessibility, of course, we talk about location and their distribution. So what started as a limited regional release can now be found in all 50 U.S. states and around 30 other countries worldwide. So going back to what a session IPA is, it's important to note that that was not always a phrase that was used. But the success of this style and this brand in particular comes down to a few smart decisions. Number one, it fits into your real life. Again, most people don't want a 9% IPA on a Tuesday afternoon or while being in the sun for hours at some kind of event, and this beer meets people where they are. The second thing I would say is that it doesn't feel like a compromise. So a lot of lower ABV beers taste kind of watered down. This one specifically does not. It still feels like a quote unquote real IPA. And that's kind of what session IPAs are known for. They have a slight hoppiness to them, but they don't have a high ABV or an overwhelming amount of hop flavor, and they're still crisp and light on the palate. And last, consistency and timing were also key when it came to all-day IPA specifically, so Founders built their reputation on reliability. When you grab an all-day IPA, you know exactly what you're getting. And it launched just as craft beer drinkers were at a time when bigger was thought to be better, and before all-day IPA, sessionable often meant lighter or more bland beers with less flavor, which is kind of what we just talked about. So after it, breweries everywhere started experimenting with lower ABV beers that still had some character. And so for a lot of people, this became a go-to for outdoor activities, sporting events, social settings where pacing does matter. And the branding all day isn't just a name. It describes and defines the functionality of the beer. So while it might not be the flashiest IPA on the shelf or on tap, all day IPA is still unique for what it actually accomplishes. It proved that drinkability matters and that sometimes less is more. Cheers.
Thanks, Katie. That was Katie Johnson. Appreciate that report. Every summer, big beverage brands try to convince us that they've captured sunshine in a cup. But this year, Starbucks isn't just chasing summer, it's leaning all the way into whimsy. The nation's largest coffee chain has just rolled out its Tropical Butterfly Refresher, a drink that looks more like a cocktail from a rooftop bar than something handed through a drive-thru window. It's triple layered, color shifting, and intentionally theatrical. It's the kind of beverage that signals a shift. Starbucks wants to feel premium again, and honestly, you can see the strategy in the glass. The star of the show is Butterfly Pea Flower, the same natural dye that's been trending in gin cocktails and mixology circles. When its powdered petals hit acidity, they bloom into a soft lavender hue. Starbucks uses it as a flower infusion float, added at the very end like a bartender finishing a signature drink. Underneath, customers can choose their base, lemonade, water, or coconut milk. And you can add some caffeine or you can keep it mellow. Either way, the drink is built to be seen before it's tasted. Early tasters describe it as delicate and refreshing, floral up front, and then a burst of guava and passion fruit. And because Starbucks knows its audience loves a little texture, mango, pineapple, popping pearls sit at the bottom, waiting for that final playful pop. But the refresher isn't the only returning character in the summer lineup. Horchata, a fan favorite, is back in two forms. There is the iced horchata shaken espresso and a brand new horchata frappuccino. Both lean into cinnamon, vanilla, and toasted rice, honoring the Mexican classic while giving it the Starbucks treatment. And yes, the unicorn cake pop has trotted back onto the stage, still swirling with pastel nostalgia. Snacking gets a boost too. Starbucks is expanding its partnership with Clued Protein Popcorn, adding a white cheddar flavor with 7 grams of protein per bag. It's a small detail, but it fits the brand's push toward functional indulgence, treats that feel fun but still offer something extra. Now, behind the scenes, Starbucks is also updating its mobile app. Customers can now schedule a 5-minute pickup window up to an hour ahead, a nod to the reality that not everyone can hover near a store waiting for their drink to appear. Baristas get a new smart queue system to help juggle orders, a necessary upgrade when a single beverage now requires scooping pearls, layering bases, and floating butterfly pea infusion like a specialty cafe build. All of this comes as Starbucks tries to balance two competing truths. Coffee prices are rising and customers are watching their wallets. CEO Brian Nicole recently said on the Wall Street Journal's What's News podcast that sometimes a $9 drink feels like a splurge, and sometimes it feels like an affordable premium experience. The difference, he says, is whether the brand makes it worthwhile, and that's the real story here. Starbucks isn't just selling beverages, it's selling moments. Colorful, layered, Instagram-ready moments that feel like tiny escapes. Whether it's protein, cold foam, Dubai chocolate, or now a rainbow-layered tropical refresher, the message is clear. If you're going to spend, Starbucks wants the experience to feel like something. Craft makers should take note. Even the biggest players in the game are leaning into storytelling, sensory detail, and the art of the build. Because in 2026, flavor matters, but feeling matters more. That wraps up this week's episode of Beverage Chronicles. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Gary Monteroso, and we will be back next week. By the way, you can check us out at our website at beveragechronicles.com. You can even drop us a note if you'd like. Okay, everyone, see you next week.